A man walks into POP Fishing and Marine and he stands, staring and still. After a few minutes, the heavy perfection of machined metal speaks to him, and he reaches out his hand to a shiny chrome jethead trolling lure. This man owns no boat. He owns no fishing rod, no reel. But he picks up the chrome jethead fishing lure and carries it to the register, where he stands proudly. The woman at the register knows this man does not fish, but she smiles. She comes out from behind the counter, and she leads him across the store to the display of big green egg cookers. He reaches out his hand, and he lays it on the finely engineered top of an extra-large-sized big green egg. Suddenly, his face gains back the faraway look of a man who has been called by something powerful, and he turns to the woman from the sales desk, and he says, "I have an enormous backyard. POP Fishing and Marine. You want stuff that works? We got it. On Pier 38, next to Nico's."
And now, in living color, it's more of Go Fish with Mike Buck. Brought to you by POP Fishing and Marine at Pier 38 in Honolulu's Fishing Village. Open Monday through Saturday with plenty of free parking. Come on in and catch some more.
Yep, come on in. As a matter of fact, one of the things that you found, I'm sure many of you, lately at Nico's, is not in the restaurant, but actually in the fish market, they are really killing with poke bowls. And that has seemed like poke bowls are like bigger than Pokemon. I mean, it's just absolutely huge. And I think it calls attention to the fact that here in Hawaii, anyway, we are really, really in tune with what we're eating. And to that event, we've invited somebody who's been on the program before. He wears lots of hats. We've invited into the studio Caleb McMahon. He is a filmmaker. And a bottle washer and a janitor and everything. Because when you get into one of these films, that's exactly it. And the thing that got my interest piqued with when Caleb first let me know about this being done, it's From the Ocean to the Poke Bowl. And it's called Ties That Bind Hawaii in the Pacific. And wow, it's part of the HIFF, that's the Hawaii International Film Festival. And we're going to be talking about that and how you can see this thing. But first of all, we welcome Caleb McMahon back. Good morning.
Good morning. Thanks for having me.
Always a pleasure. You know, and by the way, some of the people listen in the afternoon, some in the morning. Everybody says, "Oh, you ought to write a book or you ought to do a film." Okay, you've done this now. What was this? What is this project? What? Give me the nuts and bolts of what this whole thing Ties That Bind is about.
Yeah. Well, let's see. I mean, it's my first feature length documentary, mm-hmm. and I set out to tell the story of how Hawaii's commercial catch, you know, the ahi, the swordfish, how does it get from the ocean to the poke bowl?
Mm-hmm.
And I wanted to also focus on some of the difficult management issues that have underlied that process. And I wanted to kind of put it all together in a story that not just people that are familiar with the fishery, but really mm-hmm. anyone who eats fish or is interested about environmental resource issues, anyone can appreciate some of the excitement and the issues that have been part of this fishery.
Okay, now, the reason why I think it's unique is because I've had the opportunity, because I've done, I can't even tell you how many narrations of films and documentaries over the years, but it's rare that you find somebody that has the ability in more than one area. So, I mean, I think that where this Ties That Bind might be of appeal to a lot more people, that is, you're not a filmmaker that does a story about fishing, nor are you a fisherman that does a story, you know, a film about fishing. So you actually wear two hats. So I think people need to know a little bit more about what your passion is about this whole thing about fishing anyway.
Yeah, the filmmaking is something I discovered and got into, a couple years ago. And it really did. The reason I love it is because I've been able to focus a lot of my passions into it.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I love writing. I love telling stories. Used to play in bands in high school and college. So I love to make music. And as a former commercial fisherman and fisheries observer, I love commercial fishing.
Yeah, that's the whole reason why I'm so excited to do this, because there's a lot of us that wear lots of hats, but when you're asked to use one skill and for another, and then the other thing that I'm very jealous about, because I've been in the business myself, for this is my 53rd year in radio, is that you have technology and equipment available to you now as a young, relatively young filmmaker, that back in the day when I was would have liked to have bitten off a project like this, it would have been, okay, well, you need a $150,000 Ikigami camera. Good luck to that, right?
Yeah, it's the
you got the GoPros and you're in business, you know?
That's really awesome. And that's, you know, I was able to teach myself, you know, the theory of photo and video and editing, you know, in large part trial and error, just getting out there and doing it. But also, you know, there's tons of resources out there. You can give yourself a higher education in just about anything by spending some time on YouTube these days.
When we first talking about, let's talk about, break it down into your time as a commercial fisherman. What was your medicine of choice? What did you specialize in?
I went up to Alaska, the Bering Sea, in 2004, and I took a break from college. You know, wasn't really into that, and I'd met a commercial fisherman, and just right then that night, it was around Halloween 2004. Something just clicked. I was talking to a Bering Sea crabber, and he was talking about the adventure and the danger and the money and the glory and all of that, and something just clicked, and it was within a couple weeks I had, you know, arranged to leave college and was on an airplane to Dutch Harbor to start fishing there.
Many of us have seen The Dangerous Catch, The Deadliest Catch. This audience knows that I've had a lot of those guys on the program over the years, certainly right now with Wicked Tuna, North and South, and all of this that I'm doing. But actually getting into it and seeing it must have been just as I mean, here you are, a young adventurer, right? But what about the reality of, hey, wow, this is spooky. People get lost doing this.
Yeah, I had actually never been on a boat in the ocean before, and so it was definitely pretty shocking, you know. To
you get seasick in the beginning?
Yeah, definitely seasick, and you know, as a new guy, people, you know, you're
oh yeah, guess what you get to do, Caleb? Right?
Yeah. They take a lot of enjoyment in making your life even more miserable. But it was always exciting, you know, even though it was hard. And, you know, we work 16, 18-hour days regularly. That's very much the norm. And, you know, it was even in the hardship, I felt, you know, a sense of accomplishment that I was doing something important.
Was there, I mean, I just diverged here for just a minute. Was there an observer program in that fishery too?
Yeah, in fact, that's when I knew, first learned about what observers are. I was, you know, down on deck on our steam out to the fishing grounds, and I saw a kid about my age, clean cut, coming down with some sampling gear. And I remember thinking, oh shoot, you know, maybe I made a mistake getting into the fishery in this route when I could have maybe had it a little easier like this other fella.
Like doing this guy, yeah. But you know, maybe people don't understand what would be the purpose of monitoring or observing in that fishery for that species anyway.
So in that first season I was up there, we were longlining for Pacific cod. And that was, that, you know, there's a quota in that fishery. And so it, you know, it started on around January 1st, and the season would end when X amount of fish had been caught.
And it's just over, right? The switch gets flipped, and everybody's got to stop fishing.
That's right. And so one of the things that the observers did in that fishery is, you know, monitor how much fish is being caught, and also how much effort is being made to catch that fish.
Was there any bycatch? I mean, did that fishery have bycatch that was undesirable, that got thrown away, or what happened? What kind of bycatch is there?
Yeah, in that fishery, there's some bycatch in the traditional sense of even species that have a value, but that you're not allowed to keep. So, for example, on that first trip I went on, we're fishing for Pacific cod, but
for those that don't know, Caleb, how big are they? How big do cod get?
A real big cod is about 40 pounds. They can get a little bigger, but
and how small?
They get to small enough to where you might not even keep them. Maybe you know, a hand's width.
Yeah. Okay. So, but it's a rapidly growing fish, prolific, and I guess a pretty managed species.
Yeah, it's a, you know, real well-managed fishery, and all of them up in Alaska are kind of like here in Hawaii.
What about the oops, the bycatch? What is that? What
species? That was halibut, which you weren't allowed to keep, but is when the season wasn't on for halibut, so if you happen to get one, you know, it was bycatch. You mm-hmm. you weren't trying to catch it, you caught it, and now you got to throw it back.
Yep.
And there's a lot of you know, what you call trash fish, fish that aren't good for eating, that don't have an economic value. And those were things like sculpin and, you know, even some invertebrates.
It's kind of funny, and I'm sure you found that when you came to Hawaii. What you call rubbish fish or trash fish in some places, here there's somebody that's going to eat it. I mean, we're going to figure out how to, okay, it's rubbish fish, but there's value, and we're going to still eat it.
Yeah, that's awesome about here in Hawaii is that, you know, these longliners go out, and on their trip declaration form, they're going out for big eye tuna,
mm-hmm.
but they end up coming back with a lot more than that.
Yeah, they got mai-mai, they got ono, they got opa, they got all kinds of stuff that gets into their face.
Yeah, and that's and it's all really good eating fish, mm-hmm. as we know, mm-hmm. and that's good. That's good for the fishery to be
okay.
Able to
now, obviously,
it.
Just so that we can get move forward, so we can start talking about the movie. Let's make sure that people know that fish that you were catching, the cod, is a real staple food fish. It's not found generally here in Hawaii in the market. You can buy it frozen. You can buy some, but there are other parts and other ports that revere it or need it just as much as we like ahi.
Yeah, we don't see it out here just because of the different environment, mm-hmm. the subtropical latitudes and whatnot. But cod is an extremely important fish, mm-hmm. and there's been some good history written about it. I mean, you can actually look at sort of the discovery of the New World and big economic issues through the perspective of cod and its role in the history of this country and Europe. And so, you know, it's also the, you know, really high protein fish, and yeah, it's a really important species.
Yeah, very, very. And interestingly enough, and so that we can get forward, how long did you hang out in that fishery? How many seasons?
I did two seasons straight doing just cod, mm-hmm. and then you know, as I moved up and got more experience, I did another two seasons fishing black cod and halibut, which are other, you know, all still longlining, mm-hmm. but these are other fisheries that are higher value typically, mm-hmm. and that have smaller.
Yeah, yeah. Really quickly, so that people can get it. What was a good price for cod for the medium size regular cod that you're catching, Pacific cod?
That we were getting about a dollar, mm-hmm. if I recall.
And what about black cod in comparison?
That was about $4.50 at the time that I was fishing, and mm-hmm. it's probably gone up significantly since then.
Interesting. And, of course, halibut, we know, that can vary a lot on the size of the fish and the quality of the fish, but basically isn't that a high-dollar fish as well?
Yeah, halibut's up there with black cod. And, you know, depending on the markets, one can be more than the other, but bottom line, they're very valuable and sought-after catches.
Is it safe to say that that's where you cut your teeth on learning the economy of the fishery? You know, certainly you knew how it worked, and it's got to be bust butt work. I mean, you must have to when you're doing those long days. They must be pretty hard.
Yeah, it is tough, but you know, at the same time, I remember, you know, back to the observer that was on the boat. You know, he had kind of an easier job, mm-hmm. by some reckonings. I mean, he was counting the hooks, and I was actually pulling the fish off of them and cleaning them and packing them, mm-hmm. and moving them and all of that. So, but you know, I liked the work. I went up there to be a fisherman, mm-hmm. and you know, we're catching fish, and that's, you know, I was proud to do that.
So, what would be a danger being on a cod boat? I mean, I know the water gets pretty ugly there. I mean, people even here in Hawaii, they don't know how ugly water can get. Was there ever concern? I mean, were you ever at risk?
Well, I mean, in a sense, yes. Mm-hmm. Like everyone is. I mean, you're out there on a boat in the middle of the ocean,
yeah.
and the Bering Sea is a shallow ocean, so mm-hmm. the waves are notorious and they get mm-hmm. really big. So anytime you're in that environment, there's a danger. You know, the boat's rolling. Mm-hmm. Just walking down the hall is more dangerous than, mm-hmm. You know, than walking down the street probably.
Yeah, people need to know that. And we talk about that a lot here on our longline fleet. We'll get into it a little bit, time permitting, later in the next segment of the show. But right now, I want to get... So you garnered up this experience, and then you moseyed along. And eventually, we got you. But in the meantime, is that when you first started picking up an interest in the, hey, wait a minute, I'm going to start recording some of this stuff. Not only going to fish, I'm going to tell a story.
Yeah, I mean, when I was out there at that time in those fishing days, I brought back with these disposable cameras. Mm-hmm. So, you know, I'd be on my way to Alaska getting supplies, and I'd buy like six disposable Kodak cameras.
Yeah, a little take a shot and be done with it, right?
Yeah, and I loved the idea of being able to share mm-hmm. some of these sights and sounds. And mind you, this is when I went up there the first year, they were just beginning to shoot for the Deadliest Catch show.
Okay.
So the Bering Sea fisheries, they weren't very well known. And so mm-hmm. immediately when I got up there and I was seeing this stuff, that's definitely when the desire to share fishing, which people don't normally get to see, but all benefit from, I wanted to share that.
And I'm guessing, Caleb, and by the way, Caleb McMahon with us, he's a filmmaker. He's done the whole thing from, bottle washing to fine product to artwork to conception to editing, all of the things we're going to talk about. The movie is called Ties That Bind, Hawaii in the Pacific. It is part of the Hawaii International Film Festival. As a matter of fact, depending on what you're listening, either Saturday or Sunday, the world premiere event is on Monday night, the 7th. It's going to be at the Dole Cannery. As you know, the Dole Cannery is part of that. And that 8 p.m. screening, and there's still some tickets left, you can get them at www.hiff. That's HIF. www.hiff.org. A lot of times, these movies that get into these festivals, they have, you know, a little Q&A afterwards, and this is going to be the big opportunity, right, for people to not only see the premiere of the film but actually get into the nuts and bolts of it with you.
Yeah, I think it's going to be interesting. Mm-hmm. I mean, to say that there's been a lot of talk about the Hawaii Longline fleet these days is probably an understatement.
Yeah, I mean, we'll get into that too. Yeah. But what I really like is the fact that, you know, right now the words poke bowl are really new. You know, that's the new thing. We've been eating poke for generations here. So it was sort of interesting that here comes a new film and here comes a new way. I think people are relating to poke bowls across the country. They don't have any idea really what a poke bowl is, but now they're starting to order them.
Yeah, it's pretty, the last couple of years.
Yeah.
And every day I get these Google alerts. So anytime there's something on the internet that comes out about poke or fisheries, I get the releases. And every day, mm-hmm. you know, I get, there's new restaurants, you know, Toronto is doing poke or, mm-hmm. you know, Las Vegas, California, everywhere.
We've gone through something lately, and I don't want to dwell on it, but we've gone through something lately where we've got a real good scare, a health scare here in Hawaii about, you know, previously frozen stuff. These were scallops that got a lot of people sick with hepatitis A. But we're pretty discerning in Hawaii, right? I mean, and I'm sure this film is going to help point out how smart we are about what we eat and how we take care of it.
Yeah, I'd certainly like to think so. And I'm afraid, though, that, you know, when some of these foodborne illness cases come out and it's linked to, you know, they say raw fish, I think it's real important to recognize that actually when it comes to our fishery and our fresh fish fishery that makes our poke, we haven't had any of these cases. Whereas if you look at the imports, like you were saying, there's a history of that. And that recent one, wasn't the first, certainly, and probably won't be the last. We import a lot of seafood, and we really don't know a lot about the handling methods used.
I've actually taken, and I know you know this after we met, I've taken thousands of people through the United Fish Agency auction, and they are so important for people to know. And the auction has changed too, because way back when we were delivering fish to the auction, you just brought it in, it went in the door and it got sold. Now it's got to come in at the temperature, it's got to be in certain shape, you have to be throwing away ice, you can't be, you know, loosen ice. So even the reputation of the sellers and the fishmongers is just as important as health.
Yeah, I mean, they run a real serious show down there, and they take a lot of pride in all of the measures they go to ensure that it's the best quality product that's going to get the best value and that's going to be appreciated.
Okay, so how did you narrow down with this big wide thing that we can do, paint a wide brush that would take us 8 hours to explain what this fishery is all about? This is your first full-length documentary, but it's limited. You can only do so much. What did you decide to do?
Man, that was the secret key.
And
basically, you know, I'm not a film school kid.
Mm.
So my style has been, that's evolved, has been, you know, I shoot off the hip. Mm. I go out there with my camera and the microphones, meeting people, and I just shoot. And then I end up with a whole lot of stuff. And then I look for, you know, the story. You know,
yeah, some sort of continuity.
Yeah, what did I find out?
You know, gang, some of you may remember my Portraits of Paradise series, and I'm the same way. When I went out there, we just shot everything and came back and said, okay, what do we have and how do we put it together? But I know that you had a track that you're trying to follow here. So, and that it ends up in the Hawaii International Film Festival is a great honor, and it's a great opportunity. But where do you see is that, what legs do you want this to have down going forward after the film festival?
Well, you know, I think the most succinct answer to that is that, like I said, you know, the fishery has been in the spotlight lately. We've heard a lot of opinions expressed about the fishery, a lot of criticism. And on the one hand, I think that's good when you see a lot of people in the public chiming in and deciding to get involved in the fishery, because that's what it's all about. This is a public resource. It's all of ours. So we all need to come to the table and deal with the challenges. What I've also seen with all of these issues is that there's a lot of bad information out there.
Mm-hmm.
And a lot of people will run with a piece of information they've gotten from some source and start making judgments that go that are about the whole fishery when they've learned just one aspect of it. And so what I think what I'd like this film to do is sort of provide a little bit of context about our fishery, the international issues that it operates within. And I want people to know that to know where your fish comes from, which is important, is going to involve more than reading a newspaper article or jumping on a bandwagon or ascribing to, you know, one particular agenda versus another. If you want
I'm glad to hear you say that. And I want to warn all of you that are out there that just because it's you saw it here, you saw it in print, you saw it there, doesn't make it fact. As a matter of fact, there's quite a joke going around. Remember a couple of years ago, well, it must be true. I saw it on the internet. I mean, and sometimes, however, what we're talking about here in Hawaii is a little easier. I'm not sure I need a film to know that how much to appreciate fish because I've been in the fishery. But what about a guy that doesn't? So, I mean, somebody raw looking at your film that's going to pay $20 for a poke bowl, you want them to do that willingly because at the end of the day, they're getting what is cracked up to be. Is that it?
Yeah. You know, a lot of the times when you talk about the fishing industry, and certainly the way it's been portrayed and with some of these recent issues, it's like this mysterious entity, you know? It's like the fishing industry wants this, or the fishing industry is doing that. Well, one of the things you're going to get out of this film is you're going to understand that a fishery is fish, it's people, it's economics, it's families, it's politics, it's all of these things. And to get that appreciation when you go to the poke shop and get that bowl, I think it's important to recognize the diversity of viewpoints and perspectives that are within
that are in
this
that bowl. That's really a great thing. It's like a stew. You got to know where all the ingredients came from. Okay, let's make sure that I'm not trying to sell poke bowls right now. I'm trying to get people interested in your film. So it's going to be airing this weekend, folks. As a matter of fact, Monday, if you're listening on Saturday or Sunday this week, the 5th of the 6th, this is on Monday the 7th, day before you vote. It's a world premiere event. It's going to be at 8 o'clock at the Dole Cannery Complex here in Iwilei. The second screening here on Oahu is going to be also in the Dole Cannery. That's on Friday the 11th, the holiday. That's at 1:15 in the afternoon. So it's 8 p.m. on Monday night. It's at 1:15 in the afternoon. And then you guys on Kauai and gals on Kauai get an opportunity this on the 20th of November at the HIFF screening there at the Waimea Theater. What period of time does the movie cover?
So the movie is basically the culmination of almost 2 years of interviews, research, trips on fishing boats here in Hawaii. Did some interviews on Big Island, went to Kauai to shoot some field research from scientists that are doing work that relates to the fishery, and went to the territories, the U.S. territories, which are part of this whole management system. You know, I'm talking about American Samoa, Guam, CNMI. So but I also talk about some issues that have been at the forefront in this fishery in the past. Some of these lawsuits that have shut down the fishery some years ago. But So in a way, it's a snapshot of the fishery today, but it doesn't cover every issue in the mm-hmm. fishery. But at the same time, the issues that it does cover provides a context. You know, it sort of sets the stage for everything you're going to learn in the future about the fishery or the issues that are going to come back up.
Yeah, I'm saying that this is like the first course that somebody in understand the fishery 101. So that the deal is, you can buy your tickets right now at www.hiff, that's hiff.org. But please try to make a little bit of time, those of you here on Oahu, for either Monday the 7th or Friday the 11th. Monday the 7th is at 8 o'clock at Dole Cannery. Friday night, Friday afternoon, it's at 1:15. And on Saturday the 20th of November, over there at the Waimea Theater on Kauai. That's the their shot at over there. But in the meantime, I'm sure that you can also get the pointed, not just at hiff.org to buy tickets to see the movie, but at your website so they can learn more about the film.
Yeah, so I've got some screenshots and mm-hmm. some more information. You can buy a T-shirt. And
where?
Hopefully, if our listeners use Facebook, mm-hmm. there's a Facebook page for the film, Ties That Bind Documentary, will get you there.
Okay.
And as we get this thing out to into some other festivals and hopefully on our local television.
Yeah, we got to get this broadcast on local TV. We're going to work on that. And we're going to also work on something else with Caleb since he's in the house when we come back. But in the meantime, go buy your tickets. Get your tickets at hiff.org, www.hiff.org. More GoFish coming up. Caleb and I are going to talk about longliners now, maybe a little bit about slavery and a little bit about the Observer program and how it works in this local fleet. More coming up.